Welcome to the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast. I'm Chad Edgington.
And I'm Melissa Edgington.
Glad that you've joined us for another episode. It's our post-camp episode. We've been recovering now for how many days?
A bunch.
Yeah, so we've lost all track of time.
It took us a while to recover.
Did you notice my watch actually stopped?
I wonder if why you looked at my phone during prayer meeting tonight.
Because at 6:45, I guess this morning, my watch stopped working. But, you know, I don't use a watch that often for time telling.
You just wear it for the fashion factor?
Yeah. I mean, just because it takes me a minute when I look at this watch to figure out what time it is. Whereas if I just pull my phone out and look at that.
You need a digital watch.
Right. It's these Roman numerals. You know? Like, how long in your life, you know, do you have to figure out? What's weird about the four is, you know, on a watch, the four is not in Roman numeral, like correct Roman numeral. This.
It's not?
It never is. It's never VI.
No, it's IV.
What did I say?
VI.
Yeah, that's something else. That's why I can't tell time on this watch. Because when it's 6 o'clock, I think it's 4 o'clock. No, yeah. I don't know. No, I'm just, IV. It's just four eyes.
Oh, four really? Is that a thing?
Yeah, look at that one over there.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
It's a thing on watches and clocks.
Maybe that's just a Roman numeral thing that we never learned.
No, I mean, you know how to make a four. It's a VI. So anyway, well, we went to camp. Want to tell people how that went, in your opinion?
I thought it went awesome.
It was so good.
It was so fun.
Just going out at night to the sugar shack. Getting a little something.
It was so fun. All the kids were so nice, you know, and sweet, and there was really no drama. Everybody got along.
We have the best kids in Alney. I mean, they are cream of the crop.
It was so fun.
So it was good to be there.
But it was tiring. It's hard to sleep in a room filled with kids.
Mm. Yeah. The only thing harder sleeping in a room with kids like that is sleeping with grown men who snore really badly.
But you were sleeping with both in your room.
Yeah. There were kids that snored really badly. Mm-hmm. And they sounded like they were dying. It was frightful.
We even had some girls who snored.
Yeah.
But this year I was split up from my fellow counselor. We were in two separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did not sleep the whole time, because when she's there, my friend is there, I feel like she's the actual grown up.
Yeah.
And I'm just the assistant.
You were the assistant grown up. But you had to take on full grown up responsibility role.
Yes, it was really different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I had Gunner, and so we bunked by each other so we could chat at night as we read news on the phone.
Pillow talk.
Yeah, we had our pillow talk. We were just sitting there. And, you know, this camp is interesting. This particular camp we go to is Chaparral, Camp Chaparral in Iowa Park, Texas. And they've got some kind of a deal with Tempur-Pedic, which is the foam, the memory foam mattress people. And they just get truckloads of these mattresses. I guess they're seconds or returns or something. So every mattress in the camp is a Tempur-Pedic. And so that is really nice to sleep on. If it weren't for the snoring kids and the ones who won't go to sleep, you know, in our cabin, they all wanted to pull an all-nighter. Did y'all do that?
No, they didn't really talk about all-nighters. That must be a boy thing.
Brother Chad, tonight we're pulling an all-nighter. We're going to stay awake all night. Can we do that? Yeah, go ahead. And then they were asleep by 11:30. So Gunner and I were just looking at our phones. Oh, you think they're in bed now? Yeah, I'm going to go take a shower. You know, so it's just one of those deals. They couldn't do it.
They couldn't make it.
They couldn't hang with the big boys. But it was really a lot of fun. And I think they got the message. I think they were really tuned in to, you know, what God was doing in their life and listening to the preacher and taking part in the Bible studies. You know, they really do want to please the Lord in what they do.
Yeah, and I would give a plug also for this preacher. The guy's name is Colby King.
With a K.
And
K-O-L-B-Y.
We met him a few years ago at camp, and he's been to our church a few times and everything. He is amazing. Yeah,
good guy.
And they travel all over the country. You can look him up online. Yeah. Colby King. I highly recommend him for children's ministry and youth groups. He's really cool.
Colby comes highly recommended.
Colby ate fire at our church.
At our church. I wanted him to swallow a sword, but I asked him to do that, and I don't know that he felt that was going to fit his message.
They do some crazy stuff. Yeah. And puppets, and oh man, he's so good. He's multi-talented.
Yeah. And they will, I think, I mean, hasn't he swallowed a sword? Didn't he do that for the team kid?
I don't remember.
I don't remember if it was at camp or what. I want to say he was a sword swallower, but he was definitely a fire breather or fire eater.
And I've never heard clearer, you know, presentations of the gospel.
Yeah, he's real, he very good with the kids.
So y'all look him up. I think he would
be great.
That's
our plug for Colby.
Yeah.
And great camp. Chaparral's a great camp in our own backyard.
It was really fun.
We love going there, even though it's so hot. You just feel your skin burning when you walk outside. It's just the nuttiest thing. But we, you know what was really cool this year? The canoe lake was full.
Yes. And could you believe how good I was at canoeing? I mean, honestly, I was really impressed with myself. Yeah. We were good.
Yeah, you're really good. But I've been canoeing with you before. And if the water is moving, your skill level goes way down.
Well, that wasn't an issue in this lake.
No, not this lake. It was stagnant. You know, and y'all still struggled.
We moved around.
Yeah,
we didn't run into anybody. We went to exactly where we wanted to go. I was impressed.
You did good. Okay, so we went to camp. We came back, let's see, on the 24th. And that night we had our all-knee night of prayer, and you didn't get to go to that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
So camp kind of marked for me the last thing of the summer. Like, that was our last big thing, and now it's just kind of like summer's basically over. School's about to start again. We've got a week and a half of summer left.
That's all, huh?
It's so sad, but I know you don't feel that way. You're happy.
No, I love it when school starts back up again. I don't understand why we don't want them in school, because I care about education.
Oh, whatever. You just don't like it that we're all still in our PJs when you go to work.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, you know, that's like, I think a bunch of dudes resent summer. You're like, oh, yeah, another day of doing what? Nothing. Oh, yeah, good. Good for y'all. So, yeah.
We've done things.
Yeah, y'all have done things. Like, sit on a different couch. Like, today, today we're going to watch TV in this room. Okay.
Not true.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go to work and then I'm going to laugh and laugh. But, you know, one thing I do like about it not being school year is you don't have to do the pickup line or the drop-off line.
Or homework. I mean, there are a billion things about it that are amazing.
Well, that's true. No homework's been nice. Yawning. Sorry.
Poor Chad.
It's late, man. You know, I don't get to sleep late like y'all do, which is not true. I actually feel like I've slept late the last 2 days.
So let's talk about the Olympics.
The Olympics, yeah.
I love the Olympics.
Maybe that's
so
why
much.
I'm staying up so late, because of watching the Olympics.
Because you can't tear yourself away.
Mm-mm. I just can't wait to see what shenanigans Ryan Seacrest and Matthew McConaughey are up to.
Well, and the fun thing is that after the news comes on,
more Olympics.
Then
comes
they
on.
Show the other teams that Americans don't really care about, but you can watch the Chinese do their gymnastics or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's really fun.
So if you had to do all over again, and you had been blessed with just even the slightest bit of coordination, what sort of Olympic event would you want to specialize in? You know, if you didn't have such trouble like holding things. Melissa drops stuff, and it really startles me. Like, you, when you can't hold stuff,
it's more than that. Yeah. I drop things.
Too bad dropping stuff isn't an Olympic sport.
I go. I have phases of years at a time where I have a certain problem. Like when we were first married, I could not walk across the room without tripping. So that was several years, and then that was immediately followed by the years of me constantly knocking my drink over.
I know.
At restaurants, at home, wherever we were.
You know where it always seemed like where you dropped one over, knocked one over?
Onto you?
Yeah, CeCe's.
Oh, at CeCe's?
Yeah. Like for something, we go to CeCe's Pizza, and it seemed like every time that there would be Dr. Pepper or whatever just all over the table.
Yeah. I really had a problem with that for a while.
Yeah. So answer the question. What kind of Olympian. Well, I was thinking gymnast. Would you be a gymnast?
Olympian gymnast? I'm not. I don't think.
No, if you could be anything. If you could be any athlete.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you. Here's the sport that I've really been wowed by this year. That I've never really even noticed before. Has this been in the Olympics all this time?
Water polo?
No. Beach volleyball?
Oh, yeah, it's been there for a long time. Because they've got the one girl.
Oh, yeah, that she's Walsh won Jennings. A billion. Yeah, you're right. Well, I have had so much fun watching her and her new partner play this Ross. Year. And it has been awesome. I mean, it's really captivating to watch them, like how they can dive into that sand and then run backwards and they're all over the court.
Yeah.
Or whatever that you would call the sand. It's a court, right?
It's a volleyball court, yeah.
But unfortunately, in real life, the way I play volleyball is every time the ball comes toward me, I look at the person next to me and I say, "You get it.
You got it. Yeah. So you would come. You would come back as a if you could be any gym Olympian, you would be a women's beach volleyball player.
I don't know. I might.
Because I was gonna say that's what I would be too.
A women's beach volleyball.
No, man. I'd want to be. I don't know what I would want to be. Maybe a diver. That's a hard.
The swimmers are really cool too.
Yeah, or soccer
the whole swim team seems like emerald.
We're doing a podcast. Go to bed. We'll come in there in a minute. Just give us a minute, okay? All right, she got quiet.
The swim team seems like they're really the cool kids, you know?
Yeah, but like the way they walk around with those like boxing outfits on.
You know,
like
their headphones on. They're getting in the zone before they swim.
Yeah, that would be cool to be a swimmer. Because that's become one of the main Olympic. That's one of the things we always like to watch. I mean, I think the swimming is more interesting than the track and field. And they haven't even. I don't know that they've even started that yet. Is that next week?
I guess. Yeah, I don't think they've done any of that yet. But you know what else I've enjoyed is the cycling. This year, I watched both the cycling races, and it was really exciting.
Yeah,
with all the crashes and stuff.
Yeah, lots of crashes.
But then you know, it's like the person you think is going to win just never wins. They can't hang on at the end. And then you feel so, you know, you're sitting on the couch eating something, and you're like, "Golly, they can't even keep pedaling."
I know. It's pitiful. It's like the one guy out front. You're like, you should know you're going to lose. You should have hung back with these guys. You over-pedaled. You know, you don't want to overswim that first 50. They want to make sure they don't overswim that first 50 because God has something left in the tank. If I hear that one more time, or the interviews, I'm just so grateful to be a part of this team. I mean, it's just been an amazing journey. It's been the most awesome experience. I'm like, what is somebody like have that?
What would you say? Okay, let's pretend like that you just won the gold medal, all right?
Women's beach volleyball?
Pick a sport. No.
I don't know.
Swimming. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, what was this? What was the race?
It was the, I don't even know what they are.
the one where you go back and forth a few times.
Yeah, that one. Okay, so Chad, you just won a gold medal. How do you feel right now?
Yeah, just my team. I mean, we were just the greatest guys, and our coaches. And I want to just thank my wife. I mean, if it hadn't been for my wife, Melissa, I mean, I never would have started swimming at the age of 40. But I don't know. No, I don't know what I don't know what I would say.
Were supposed to come up with a better interview.
No, they have that just on a cue card. It's the same stuff.
Well, that's what all the football players. Man, I mean, you know, at the end of the day.
One day at a time, one at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, all we did was we just went out there and left it all on the field.
It's really about competing, man, every day. Yeah, it's like the athletic speak. Which I don't like it. I wish they'd go up there and say, well, you know, I mean, I saw the guy that I was about to beat. He was kept looking at me, and it was really great to just whip him. That's what they should say. But they know better, you know. They know better.
That's the kind of thing Michael Phelps is starting to say now, right?
No, I mean, I think he just said, hey, he does his thing, I do mine. Has he been getting cocky?
I think he's been getting a little cocky. But, well, he, I mean, he should.
I know.
He's won more gold medals than anybody.
I would say get 25 gold before you get cocky.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Gosh, he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
One of my favorite moments of this whole Olympics has been whenever that relay team was up on the podium.
Oh, and the little boy was crying.
And yeah, and that little new guy was crying. And then Michael Phelps looked over at him and he just laughed and hugged him. You know?
Yeah, it was like a real bro moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay, bro. Don't worry about it, bro. No, that was cool.
So do you have any Olympic memories from when you were a kid? What's something you remember?
Well, I was telling a friend last night. We were talking about that, and he said maybe he wanted to try to go to one of these Olympic Games and save up money and go to it. And,
oh, as a spectator?
Yeah, just to go watch it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
He said it meant, said that as the games, as he's gotten older, these games have meant more to him than they did when he was younger. And I said, yeah, I kind of feel the opposite. Like, I don't think any Olympic year has captured for me the magic that was the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics.
That's Mary Lou Retton, right?
That was the Mary Lou Retton, you know. And I was at the babysitter for most of that summer, and we watched Olympics all day long. I remember I was about 9 years old. And that was the first Olympic Games that I can remember, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because 1980, the United States team boycotted.
Mm.
So it was held in Moscow, I think. And our team wasn't there because I don't know what the international crisis was. Maybe it was over Afghanistan or something like that. Anyway, the Russians had boycotted in 84, and they weren't there. So we were probably racking up all sorts of medals that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise, but I had no idea what Russia was, really, probably as a 9-year-old. I probably did. I think we were all afraid of them. And so I remember watching that and the Mary Lou Retton stuff and all the track and field and the swimming and just tons of events. We would just watch it all day long. And I was just fascinated and spellbound by the idea of the Olympics. And I was like, what is Olympics? And, you know, and you're just asking your mom questions. What is this? This is the coolest thing ever. And it seemed like such a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and back then there were only three channels on TV and they just had Olympic coverage going all day long, and that was the one I can still remember watching that as a boy and just thinking, this is really neat. And then as the other Olympics have come along, you know, you're busy doing things, you're in college, you're in high school, I just don't feel like I ever paid attention to them quite the same way as when I was a fascinated 9-year-old.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. This year, just, I have really enjoyed it, and I think it's because I have been so disappointed in our country.
And everything else?
And this has kind of renewed my hope. It reminds me, you know, to see these young people who have such a good work ethic, who, you know, are just super high achievers, work so hard, and mm-hmm. And have so much pride in our country and in what they do. And it just, I don't know, it has made me feel a sense of pride in America, you know, to watch it. And and I've even thought, you know, why don't we just decide that you have to have been an Olympian before you can run for president? I mean, these people know how to work hard. They know how to care about their team, you know?
Yeah, they do some good things. But then I was really interested in the female swimmer, Maya Dorado, and her attitude. This is her first Olympics, and it's going to be her last. Have you heard her story?
No.
She's one of the swimmers. And she said, you can look her up, Maya Dorado. I think she went to Stanford and swam. And she said she's not going to keep swimming because she's had these thoughts since she was in college on the swim team. That she's saying as she continued to swim, it's like she felt her brain atrophying. Like she felt the brain atrophy of all I'm doing is swimming back and forth in this pool.
Mm.
And so she got out. She got a great job. And they said, you can take a year or whatever it is off to train for the Olympics, and we'll let you do that. And then this is it. And then she's going to go work at some high-powered global marketing firm or something like that.
Really?
Or investment firm or something. And, you know, so I don't know. I think, you know, it's like you got to be careful with the jocks, right?
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you don't want to say only like, well, football players work hard too, but we don't want them to be the president.
Well, you feel a sense of justification in saying that because you want to say, hey, the jocks are not the guys you need to elect as president.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because they're cool.
I would say more like guys who were in the band.
Right. Guys who were on the academic decathlon.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah. Quiz League. It wasn't academic decathlon. It was actually quiz. It was just straight up trivia.
But Quiz League.
We knew a lot. You know, we could answer questions about the 84 Olympics.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we were quite a sight to behold with our buzzers. buzzing in. So,
all I know is there are a lot of people in this country who have to be better qualified than the people who are actually running.
I would just pretty much let that one women's volleyball team run for president, and I'd be cool with that.
Exactly.
That's what I'm doing. I'm voting for Carrie Walsh Jennings and what's her
name,
Ross.
Have you heard about all this hubbub about her saying that she was made to have babies, and everybody's just gone nuts that she said that?
Because she was made to win the Olympics. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, everybody's just going nuts that she would imply that all a woman is good for is to have babies.
Oh, no, no. They can win gold medals, too, and be president. Just hopefully, well, I don't care anymore. I don't care if a woman's president this time or not. I'll just put it out there. I'm disaffected? Is that the word?
You know, apathy is just a terrible, terrible thing.
I know, and I've got to that point. But anyway, what about your favorite Olympic moment?
Well, I mean, Mary Lee Retton was a big deal.
But Carrie's drug was better.
But I was so young. Mary Lee Retton, I was, you know, how old was I? 7.
Yeah.
7 years old. Yeah, and then Carrie's drug, I mean, that really...
That was awesome.
Sticks with me.
I think you and me were crying. Remember, we were just like so excited.
Oh, yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was right up there with the Titans in the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. Yeah, home run throwback. And Kevin Dyson, 1 yard, we would have won it.
Oh, man.
For those couple of years, we were Tennessee Titan fans.
Mm, that was awesome.
Yeah, because we lived in Nashville, so we couldn't actually get Cowboy games, so started watching the Titans play, and really, they had the greatest team.
Because the Titans were actually...
They were good. They went to the Super Bowl.
But weren't the Titans a Texas team, actually?
Well, they were the Houston Oilers.
They were the Oilers.
But they were lovable. Like, they had the best guys on that back in those days, that 99, 2000, whatever that was.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Well, we probably ought to talk about something serious.
Oh, really? Let's get serious.
Okay, let's get serious. So, you had a blog that went around, a very successful, highly clicked on blog, I might say, if I was Donald Trump. It's fantastic. Fantastic.
What are you talking about? My blog?
It was a fantastic blog. It was better than any other blog that had been posted that day. And I'm getting so sick of your blogs because they are so incredible. Your blogs are so credible that I'm sick of incredible blogs. I can't take one more incredible blog that you put up. That's how you're a winner. You're a blog winner. You know. So So the blog was about mom guilt, and I'll admit I've never had mom guilt. I've never
really
had,
how
never,
odd.
Never had that. You know,
do dads have dad guilt?
We probably do feel guilty about things. I mean, I think you feel guilty. You know, when you compare yourself to other guys and their dadness. You know, like they seem to be really caring or something. Spending a lot of time with their kids. I don't know that I have guilt over things like that, but, you know, I'm sure we all regret things, but mom guilt seems to be more of a thing. And I can understand that because I think moms have very deep, you know, such a deep connection with their children. And so that went around, that blog. And so what was the reaction towards it, or... how would you apply that, say, to the starting of school?
Well, stuff? The post itself was about you know, some ideas or some simple, you know, small changes you could make to eliminate some mom guilt from your life. Because I, you know, I've written several posts about mom guilt, and it's never a thing where you put that out there and you say, well, maybe you're not like me, and you know, maybe you haven't experienced mom guilt. I mean, you never say that, because everybody has it bad all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to a friend the other night, which is really what inspired that post. And she was telling me, you know, that she had so much guilt over this big decision she'd made. And I just told her, you know what, if you'd made the opposite decision, something about that would have also brought you mom guilt. It just doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, the enemy knows exactly which buttons to push, strings to pull to make us feel guilty.
Exactly.
He's the accuser, so he's trying to make you feel guilty.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, a big part of that post was just kind of talking about how, you know, Satan would like to see us paralyzed, you know, in our motherhood, you know, and unable to really be effective the way we want to be in discipling our kids and teaching them the truth. He would like for us to think that we're not capable of doing that.
Yeah. And we feel guilty over things that we really shouldn't. And we feel guilt, and we don't feel guilt over things we probably should feel more convicted about anyway, or concerned about. You know, I think about school starting. Maybe there were all these things you wanted to do this summer, but you didn't get around to them. There's so many different things you can put your kids in. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what really strikes me, is how many different activities kids are involved in. So they're in this, and they're in this, and that activity, dance. We're thinking of piano lessons, art lessons. I mean, all these different things that you can have your kids in. And you want your kids to be great at every sport, talented in every UIL competition that they might, you know, enter in. And yet, you know, maybe it's because everybody else is involved in those things, we feel like we have this duty to have our kids in everything. And then, you know, we neglect the spiritual things. You know, we have these kids that are really good at all these things, but they don't know anything about the Bible. And what's causing us to feel guilty are the wrong things. Why is that?
Well, I think that moms do feel a lot of guilt about neglecting spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right in that sometimes
I think certain moms do. I mean, I don't know that I would say every mom.
Well,
I think it's on a lot of people. It's not even on their radar.
I'm talking about
your faithful
Christian
listeners.
Moms. Yeah. But I do think we have a tendency to lose focus. And that's something that I think that our kids are reaching an age where we're going to have to stop doing everything, you know, where we have to start picking and choosing. And I'm glad we're at that phase. Because I don't want to do everything.
I don't want to drive to everything. Driving.
I would say that, you know, I think that moms, we're just way too hard on ourselves in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as discipling your kids and spiritual growth and development, we tend to think that it needs to be a huge production of some kind, you know, like we need to be having family worship for an hour every day or something.
Family worship for an hour. We need to get our coffee cup in the morning and our Bible.
Did you see that article on the
Babylon Bee? Yeah. Like, quiet times are more spiritual if you take a picture of it and put it on Instagram.
Yeah, Bible and coffee.
Like, I got my Bible and my coffee. It's not all you need.
Highlighters.
You got to have your journal.
Oh, in your journal.
The journal. So I've got my Bible, and I've got my journaling Bible, and I've got my journal, and I've got my highlighters, and I've got my colored pencils. So when I'm coloring in my journaling Bible, because I'm going to do Jonah today, and I'm going to draw a big fish. Listen, it's not a whale, okay? It does not say whale. It says big fish.
Big fish.
I'm going to draw a big fish and a dude being swallowed in that big fish, and that's going to be really something. That's going to be incredible for my journaling Bible. But then I'm going to have my regular journal where I'm going to talk about all my hopes and fears. Yeah.
So the point I'm
and
trying
then
to
I'm going
get to
put
at.
It, then I'm going to put it on Instagram. And everyone will know I'm incredible.
The point that I'm trying to get at is that I have learned that it doesn't have to be a big production. You can truly, you know, spend a few minutes a day talking about spiritual matters to your kids, you know, and mm-hmm. and other important things. You know, you have to talk to your kids about sex. You have to talk to them about predators. You have to talk to them about pornography and all of this stuff that is so, it seems so overwhelming when you think about all the things you really need to address mm-hmm. with your kids. But, you know, a few minutes a day. Yeah. You know, I don't know why we think we have to spend an hour on that a day, you know.
I think we want to feel like we're investing a significant amount of time, but that's really not, when you think of like Deuteronomy 6, that's really not the pattern that Moses gave to the people of Israel. He was saying, when you get up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way. So it's like in the everyday pattern of life, whenever you're with your family and with your kids, the conversations you should have should always be about these things. Right. You know, these things should always be on your mind and on your heart, not just when you sit down at a particular time. It should be, this should be the lifestyle and the things that come out of your mouth all the time, whether you're driving, whether you're driving, going to school, whether you're at a game, whether you're at the dinner table, whatever it is, your kids should, hopefully they would think, my parents are always talking about Jesus. They're always talking about the gospel. This, and that's how they learn what's important to you. Not just, you know, for, oh, hey, it's time to do this few minutes or these minutes of us talking about this, and then you walk off and you know, it's as though it didn't really have an effect on the rest of the day or the rest of the night or whatever. So,
well, I don't want to give the impression to anyone that, you know, all we do is sit around and talk about Jesus, you know. But I think where the rub is if you spend, you know, 15 minutes of deliberate time talking about Jesus and the Bible, and then you live the rest of your life as if you don't believe that,
right,
then that's not going to have any impact on your kids at all.
Right. And they want to see that what you say is important is truly important to you. And they can pick that up in those conversations. Yeah, I mean, you're not every single conversation, and I hope I'm not giving that impression. Every single conversation doesn't have to be, you know, four spiritual laws or something like that. But they can. But you want to teach them how to make good decisions, and that's going to always come in under a biblical framework. What does the Bible say about this choice we need to make or this attitude that we need to have? And you teach them in those ways, well, I'm not doing this or I am doing this because this is what God's word requires of us. This is what God would have us to do. And yeah, if sometimes you just sit around and talk about Olympic volleyball. But, you know, usually I would say every day we're really fortunate to have those little moments, those little teachable moments throughout the day where we can impress something upon our kids about what's important. And that's what you should really look for. And so you don't, and yeah, there should be some deliberate things that you do to teach them as well. Those aren't bad, but they need to be reinforced by the way you do everything else.
And I think that chances are, if you are living the Christian life, there are a lot more things that you're teaching your kids about God than you even realize.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're teaching
them. As you just live your life in front of them.
Right.
So be encouraged in that. And
yeah.
And don't make it, I mean, don't put some kind of pressure on yourself to say, well, if I'm not, you know, I don't know, if I'm not ordering special curriculum and spending 45 minutes, you know, in it with my kids or whatever, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. What matters probably even more than that deliberate time of sitting there is just how you live your life in front of them.
Yeah, I think that's good stuff. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, or today, or whenever you're listening. It's been a real pleasure. And we hope all of your moments this week are Olympic in nature.
Hey, and if you have some good ideas for other moms and dads about ways that you like to disciple your kids, or certain things that you like to use, books or resources, or just simple ways that you bring Jesus into their everyday life, let us know. We would love to hear about it.
Yeah, put that in the comment sections, and we'll maybe even have some more things to discuss on our next podcast, which hopefully won't be too far off in the distant future.
Well, we don't have to recover from camp anymore. I think we're okay.
Now that we're fully recovered from camp. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.